may be seated. And in the closing words of the Gospel, keep awake. And that is not an encouragement, it's a threat. I liked them blowing the whistles. As you see, I've been allowed to wear the Jewish prayer shawl, the tallit. So when I heard the whistles, it was like the shofar was being blown to welcome in the new year. For today, the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of the new year for most churches in the Western Christian tradition. And our ushering in the new year stands in stark contrast with the ringing in of the secular new year, which would occur in 4 weeks' time. Instead, Christ's Church invites us from now until Christmas morning to quietly and in the midst of rampant commercialism and materialism to step outside the mainstream and deliberately create a reflective time and space for ourselves. Jesus knew that we would all need time out and said to his disciples, come away by yourselves to a quiet place and rest a while, for many are coming and going. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And as with the season of Lent, Advent is a penitential season, hence the colour, the liturgical colours. A time of taking stock, sorting out, tidying up, and flushing out of our system the accumulated gunk that dims the Christ light, the Christ life, and the Christ love in us. There are two key words that I want you to take away. Preparation and anticipation. Preparation for and anticipation of two God-ordained cosmic events, all centering on Jesus, the Christ of God. His first coming as our redeeming Saviour, and his second coming as King of Kings. In 3 weeks, just 3 weeks, we will sing, Veil in flesh the Godhead see, Hail incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. But how do we prepare in this Advent season for God with us? And I have 4 points. The first point, we prepare ourselves by revisiting between now and Christmas our spiritual life journey into faith. Let us retrace our tracks. And just like Joseph and Mary, we will journey to Bethlehem. We will journey into faith because their movement was an act of faith. For such a journey, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as we will leave our comfort zone and travel with him into our shadowlands. Saying yes to God can be both costly and dangerous. Remember, both Mary and Joseph said yes to God, to God's angelic messengers, and it cost them their good name and their reputation. In our walk with Jesus, though we trip and fall, we are never utterly cast down. By his resurrected power and love, we rise strengthened. So regardless of what the natural eyes see and the heart feels, let us offer song and prayer sacrifices. Song and prayer sacrifices of praise and of thanksgiving. For in faith we have learned, all things work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The second point, we prepare for our celebration of Christ's birthday by calling on Christ's appointed helper. He said he would not leave us without comfort. And the Holy Spirit will assist us in sorting through and identifying and shedding all sorts of excess baggage. Not just physical baggage, but also crippling emotional and psychological baggage. Baggage that dims our horizons. Baggage that blinkers our vision and obstructs our journey into Christ's gift of eternal love, joy, and the peace that passes all understanding and that keeps our hearts and minds close to the Lord. Thirdly, we prepare by confessing to the Lord and repenting of our sins so that a clear conscience becomes our companion. As it says in Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The fourth point, we prepare by asking the Lord, and this is very, very, very important, as are the other ones, to deliver us from any toxic unforgiveness that clings to our hearts. Toxic unforgiveness is destructive. And then, co-laboring with God's Spirit, cleanse our hearts of wrongdoings born out of our stubbornness, our pride, and our resentment and anger. On this first day of Advent, of our new year, let us make a resolution, not like one makes on the 1st of January. This is the resolution we make with the power and the energy of the Spirit of God himself. Let us make a resolution to search out crevices of unforgiveness and start the process of being liberated. Because we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And I ask you the question, how can we expect forgiveness if we give none? The baby, whose birth we celebrate in 3 weeks, will grow into the image of his father. Sorry, in the side, whenever there was trouble at home, my mother would always say to me, oh, you're just like your father. And I was never my father's son when I was in trouble, I was her son. But in this case, the Lord Jesus grows into the nature and image of his father. And thus, he grows into Jesus, the suffering servant. Jesus, the man of sorrows. Jesus, the Lamb of God, by whose stripes we were healed. Jesus, whose death and resurrection would open the way to our eternal salvation. We eternally celebrate his commitment to both the Father and to us. For what did he do? He came to seek, save, and serve the lost. He came to reveal and do the will of our Father God and bear witness to the truth. He came to destroy the power of evil in our lives, giving us his fullness and abundance. He came to bear and die for our sins by offering his sinless life so that we, believers, could be released from eternal death. We have much to celebrate in Jesus. I have a word. The next word was anticipation. In his second coming, Jesus returns to us and for us. But no longer. Don't be looking for the Jesus meek and mild no longer the suffering servant. And we will sing this in our last hymn. But the glorious, victorious, triumphant, King of kings and Lord of lords, Judge of the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Isaiah, that lovely reading, except that I prefer the authorized version because there is a word. The reading we had says, tear. But the old translation says, rend. 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 That is not just tearing, it's catching and destroying. Ripping, like that curtain in that temple. Oh, that you would rend the heavens. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. Just struck me that let us prepare well. Because by being prepared well, we will not tremble at his presence, but we will rejoice and be glad. This climactic picture is reinforced by the Gospels. In that time, we read it in Mark, and this is from Matthew. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the skies, and all the nations on earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And John, in Revelation 19, goes into greater detail. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven will follow him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth will come a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of kings and Lord of lords. Down the generations, Christians have anticipated the Lord's imminent return, and our generation is no exception. But trying to figure out the precise time of these events risks reducing biblical prophecy to the level of a horoscope. God's time is not our time. And as the psalmist and Peter in his epistle says, with God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Jesus leaves us in no doubt. Decisions in relation to the timing of these events is exclusively God's. About that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus does, however, tell us to observe and read the signs of the time. Don't be caught napping. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. When you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gate. And I would, only a little vignette I would drop in there. It's just struck me that reading the fig tree is a symbol in scripture for Israel. Interesting. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. And the Lord leaves us in no doubt as to what is expected of us. And in the last maybe 5 verses of the gospel, 4 times. Beware, or be aware, I would put it. Keep alert, for you know not when the time will come. Be on the watch. Keep awake. Keep awake. How many times do we have to be told? Don't. The argument will never stand. I knew nothing. Today, By the grace of God, we enter into the refreshment of the penitential season of Advent. The Lord's word to us this day is to be aware, keep watch, keep awake. In short, pray unceasingly. Our responsibility is to reach out in this grace and co-labor in love with the Holy Spirit so that we align ourselves in body, mind, heart, and spirit with the radiance of His will and love. We're in a time of alignment. Let us take this time between now and Christmas to become more aware of His guidance and shed from us those things that obstruct and hinder our desire to serve Him and each other as He eternally serves us. This Advent, let us seek and be found. Now, unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen.